The greatest sexual organ in your body, my friend, is not between your legs, but between your ears. The way we think is how we feel. As we think, we develop feelings. And those feelings will overwhelm us unless we know the origin of the feelings is a thought. Can those thoughts be changed? Yes, they can. Colin Cook here, and How It Happens. Thanks for joining me today. You're listening to Honest Talk and the Gospel, as the Gospel enables us to know who we are, what Christ has done, and now we say, I believe and I've seen the light. No more but this and but that, and I realize now, in the light of God's grace, that these things that were obstacles are actually instruments of grace. So if it's true then that of him and through him and to him are all things, remember Romans 11 verse 36, to whom be glory forever, of him and through him and to him are all things. If this is true, if it is true as Jesus says, that what comes into a man does not defile him, but what comes out of a man, up from out within his heart, defiles him, how does that man then, who sees a pretty woman coming towards him, how does he respond? Remember, God has allowed this experience to come through to you. Yes, it may be a temptation from Satan, but God has chosen to allow that. He has chosen to tell the angels to step aside and let Satan do the tempting. He has chosen to allow the beauty of women to be in your purview, to see things around you. What are you going to do about that? Are you going to bounce your eyes, that silly idea? Are you going to repress? Are you going to wring your hands and anxiously go home and never walk out on a summer's day for fear of the temptations? Are you going to plead and agonize with God to take these desires away from you? Are you going to pray and fast and read the Word until you're blue in the face? Is that what you're going to do? Or are you going to say, Father in heaven, I thank you for this pretty woman who is walking towards me. I praise you for how beautifully you made her, how beautiful her figure is, how beautiful her hair is blowing in the wind, how beautiful the lovely dress she has on. I thank you, Father, for her lovely breasts. I thank you for how she is. Now, look, do you think you're saying that in some state of total freedom from anxiety? Of course not. You're saying that knowing full well that a part of you wants to lust, a part of you wants to dream about her, a part of you wants to take advantage of her, a part of you wants to use her for your own pleasure. But what happens when you praise, when you give thanks for all things? What happens? The perception of that woman slowly changes. The perception of her changes to an image of God, to someone beautiful, to someone who is not an object of your lust. As you praise, you switch the image of that woman out of the kingdom of Adam with all of its guilt and shame and sin into the kingdom of grace. Do you see? That's how it happens. That's what faith is doing. And when you realize that, you see the meaning of the next part of this verse. Of him, that is from him, that image of that woman came from him, and through him, of him and through him. So now that you're praising and giving thanks to that woman, thanks to God for that woman, what is happening? You are seeing her through grace, through God's eyes. You're seeing her as in the image of God. You're seeing something different from before. It won't go away altogether, I grant you that. But it will slowly change your response to things. Listen, I've said this to you before, and I'll say it again. The power of a temptation is not in the stimulus, but in the response to the stimulus. If you respond with, oh, my God, oh, look at that hot chick and all of the stuff you talk, the phraseology you use, then obviously the image is going to become more powerful in a negative sense to you. But if you say, Father, you well done again, you created a beautiful woman, then your perception of things is changing. Now, what about this? Suppose you happen to be in a situation where you can either ignore this woman or talk to her. She's sitting next to you on the bus, or she is in a certain situation, in a meeting or something, and you can either avoid or you can talk. You say, I've got to avoid Colin. If I don't avoid, then I will just be drawn in all the more into this lust image that I have. No, you won't. Lust comes from isolation. It comes from separating people from the paradigm of their humanity in Christ. Lust comes from dissecting people and disconnecting them from their humanness and their relationships. Lust is separateness. It's not only separation from God, it is separateness. It is dissecting people and cutting them up into the parts that you like. But as you say, Lord God, I'm going to go forward by faith and I'm going to talk to this woman, and you have a chat with her, you feel awkward, you feel a little uneasy, you don't know how to respond to her, you don't know how to talk, but you've put her in context. You hear her voice, you listen to the way she talks, you watch her mannerisms and you are aware of a whole larger context. And perhaps she talks in a funny way and you don't like it, and that desexualizes her. Or perhaps she talks in a nice way and a Christian way and a very caring way, and you find yourself drawn in a beautiful and healthy way to her. You see then that I believe and I'm seeing the light. I'm seeing that this woman is something more than an obstruction to my grace. To my faith, rather, an obstruction to my progress. She's no longer a hindrance. She's someone who is an instrument in God's hands for me to move forward and to know people and to understand. Look, listen to me carefully. Darkness shall cover the earth, but the Lord shall arise upon you. What do we see in this world but darkness all over the place? I've said before, I'm very interested in international affairs and political events. I'm very interested in the culture of nations and what goes on in this world. But the more I read the newspapers these days, the more I look it up online, the more I look at the Drudge Report, what do I see? Darkness covering the earth. There's hardly any good news anymore. And we know from Scripture, of course, we know that things are going to get worse and men's hearts will be failing them for fear for what are coming on for the things that are coming on the earth in the last days. But the Lord shall arise upon you. As you open your heart to Him, as you trust Him, as you know He's your Father and He sent His Son Jesus Christ to be for you, light arises upon you. That's Isaiah 60, verse 2, by the way. Arise, he says, shine, for your light has come. You can come to the place now where you see everything of him and through him and for him. As you learn to walk by faith, as you approach temptation with praise and thanks, as you even approach defeat with thanks and praise, as you learn that everything that is working together for you and you trust God in all of this, then not only is it of him and through him, but it's to him. It's going back to him in thanks and praise and worship. Arise, shine, for your light has come. Don't you understand that a voice has been crying in the wilderness? A voice. And what is this voice saying? It's saying, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough ways smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. You see that your struggles where you have believed, but then you've seen all of these obstacles which seem to counter your belief, That is a wrong paradigm. It is a distortion. It is failing to see the bigness of God. God has gained victory over the forces of evil. He has triumphed over them. Colossians, you know, 1 verse 15 again. Colossians 1 15, he has triumphed over the forces of evil. No, that's Colossians 2 15. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Jesus Christ on the cross did not only die for your sins. He did not only die to reveal the love of God. He died on the cross to smash Satan in the teeth, to put his foot on Satan's neck and defeat him for you. And so this means that we now begin to see that God is now moving upon and in all things because he is sovereign now. He has gained the victory. Satan cannot do a single thing without permission from God. And thus, when the voice cries in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord," what does it cry? What does that voice cry? What do I cry? Because I'm a kind of voice in the wilderness. Make straight his paths. In other words, see every path you are walking through as God's work in you, and then that path will slowly straighten out. Every valley shall be filled. Oh, those valleys, those dark, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it's no longer darkness. Every valley shall be filled. It's now light. Every mountain and hill, all those mountains that seem to be so high and insurmountable, you, like Zerubbabel, will say to that mountain, "Be removed." The crooked places, the things that seem to be so confusing, they will slowly be made straight. The day spring from on high has visited us to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death. Luke 1 verse 79. Oh my goodness, how beautiful is that? I believe, and now I can see the troubles that I have been going through are not against me. The chaos, the confusion, the perplexity, it is not, after all, perplexity. All of these problems are not indications that God has forsaken me and walked out on me. They are indications that he is moving me in his grace towards him. He is training my faith in him. The day spring from on high has visited us to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death. Luke 1:79. We who have walked in darkness have seen a great light. We who have dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon us a light has shined. I believe, and I have seen the light. Well, okay, I'll give you another fling at your objections by this coming seminar, "I believe, but it's all the other stuff." And we will slowly see, as we work in more detail on this stuff at the seminar, that it's not stuff after all. It's an instrument of grace. So join me this coming Saturday, will you? It's only a few days from now, coming Saturday, the 25th of October, 9:30 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon. There'll be a break for lunch. I believe, but it's all the other stuff. Where? At La Quinta Inn in Lakewood. That's 7190 West Hampden Avenue on the South Frontage Road. La Quinta Inn. I believe, but it's all the other stuff. You're going to see, after all, that it isn't stuff, but it is an instrument of grace. I'm looking forward to meeting you. I'm looking forward to seeing you, and I'll see you there, and I'll see you next time. Cheerio, and God bless.